Today's shiur is going to be based off today's daf. We've had the shiur many, many years ago. Not the exact shiur, but we are going to be spending some time on the daf of Gimel Amud. The Gemara talks about Zavara, and that causes us to forget our learning. As we get older, so that's already a reason why we can't remember. But we are going to go through the sugya, try to figure out what halacha is, because it is halacha. And as Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, in the Sefer Shmir Sagufa Nefesh and Azagdama, speaks about that if a person forgets his limud HaTorah and he does a maisa, which is the reason for why he forgot his limud HaTorah, is over an avera. The Torah says we can't forget. And it's difficult chaza these days, but there are maisim that we do that cause us to forget our limud HaTorah, and we're going to try to understand what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do, and maybe we have a little time to put a that are good for memory. So the Gemara says in today's daf, like this daf, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Tan Rabbanan, Chamish Dvar, Mashkichin Etz Halima. There are five different things that people do that cause you to forget your learning. Most of them don't have anything to do with us because I don't think that any of you are eating from what a man. I don't think that's what we have to be concerned with. Although I did once get a shaila about that from someone who was very poor, and he did ask me about where he realized that a mouse ate from one side of the bread, and he wanted to know if he could eat the other side of the bread. So I did once get a shaila like that. And from what a cat ate, same thing. I don't think we have to spend too much time on that. Someone eats the heart of an animal. I know that it's a delicacy, but I don't think we have to talk about that either. What we do have to talk about is haragil b'zeisin, someone who eats olives, ragil. We're going to have to talk about what does ragil mean. That means olives, if you eat it too often, of course you forget your limud HaTorah. And if you're forgetting what you learned, you're even avera. So then we have to know, what does this mean? What does it mean, ragil b'zeisin? Drink the water of leftover that you bathed in. I don't think we have to talk about that either. You wash your feet one on top of the other. I don't think we really have to discuss that either. And others say, if you put your clothing under your head, which we do have to talk about, what does that mean? Can you put, you're on a plane, you want to use your coat, you want to use your sweater, and you want to lean on it, your child is going to ask, are they allowed to use other types of belongings? What does kelim mean? Does it mean clothing that you wear or any items that are kelim that are not designated for pillows? What's the halacha? We're going to begin with, we'll begin with the last one. I'm going to show you stuff. I'm going to see how Ge'onim and Sadiqim learn a Gemara. It's random. Nothing to do with really leaning, sleeping on clothing. We'll try to see a little bit about if it's going to, we have a number of questions over there. If you're just doing it as an arai for a few minutes, you're going on a flight, and then it's going to be that you are going to be using it as a pillow if you take your, you want to lean even on your sweatshirt while you're wearing it. All these are questions that are discussed. But what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time on a Gemara here, and just want to show you how you learn a Gemara, and those that are equipped to deal with Kol HaTorah Kula will focus on why the Gemara does not talk about this specific halacha, which is sleeping on your clothing. Says the Gemara like this: the Kohen Gadol or the Kayanim in the Beis Hamikdash, they would sleep in their clothing. That's what the Gemara wants to talk about. Did they or did they not? They're not allowed to, because then they're having hana from Bidei Kahuna. And the Gemara therefore discusses the Shaila right at the beginning. So let's learn the Gemara myself. So you might want to see if the Oyel can learn the Gemara with me and see if you would pick up on this question that the Sefer Be'er Sheva asked, and eventually the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. So let's learn this Gemara together. They would take off the Bidei Kahuna. They didn't sleep in it, and they put it under their head. Says the Gemara, how could they do that? Shmami, not to ride from a big day kuna, and you're allowed to take the big day kuna, and you're allowed to buy it up from it, using it as a pillow. Gemara says, no, they didn't put it under their heads. Elema, they put it near their heads. Oh, they put it near their heads, so then it's no hanach. So Gemara, shmami, no, we have arrived from here. Tefillah, and atzad, chapridami. If you take off your tefillah and you put it on the side of your head, it's not considered on your head, and now we don't have a problem with all the halachas where that discuss, don't sleep in your tefillin. If it's on the side of your head, it's okay. Says the Gemara, we're going to bring you a raya that when it says that they slept on their clothing, it doesn't actually mean they slept on their clothing. They placed it near their head. If they actually put it under their head, How could they put it under the head? It's klayim. It's shatnez. The tekel lemishim klayim. What? How do we know it's klayim? They got me. The belt was klayim. The belt of the kain was made out of wool and linen. And you know what? You can't sleep on. You cannot sleep with shatnez. Says the Gemara. So let's right now. The Gemara again is bringing me a raya that it couldn't be that the clothing's under their head because it was under their head anyway. It's klayim. Says the Gemara. He nami. Let's say you're allowed to have enough for big day kuna. You can't have enough from klayim. And then the Gemara wants to know what was the belt, which is what the klayim was it actually klayim or not? During the rest of the year, so it's klayim. So then it wasn't klayim. Sorry, the avner of the klayim gadol and the klayim headed. So it is klayim. Says the Gemara, maybe only klayim is when I wear it. I'm not wearing it. I'm using it as a pillow. Maybe a lot of a pillow that's wool and linen. That's the Gemara's question. Ki tame a klayim levisha of Allah uda. So maybe only if I'm wearing it. But if I'm leaning, if I'm, my head is on its mother, says the Gemara, no, but time into the b'risa. You cannot have klayim wearing it. Avalata oimer. But maybe you're allowed, you might say you're allowed to put your head down on top of klayim. Avalata oimer. I'm saying you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because especially the pillow, it's going to, your head is going to go in the pillow and it's going to now rise up on the side. Says the Gemara, oh, maybe the misiglamidi beni beni. Maybe when they slept on their clothing, it was not directly on their clothing. It was something separating. So if it's because of climb, it's not climb. Says the Gemara, can't be that either. Once you know that climb under you, you can have climb even if it's, even if there's a separation of many clothing. If there's klayim under you, the Rabbanan just prohibited it. Says the Gemara, it's a raya that where do they sleep with the clothing on the side of their head? So the Gemara is being a raya to be on the side of that. How do you know it's on the side of that again? Because it couldn't be under their head because it would have been klayim. So there's two reasons that the Gemara discussed regarding sleeping on these clothing. One is it talks about that it's a problem of having hanah from big dekuna. You're not allowed hanah from big dekuna. Or maybe you are. That's a Gemara shayla. The second point, the Gemara says it's klayim, according to this mandama, that it's klayim. Oh, if it's klayim, so now you cannot be on top of klayim. Where were the big dekuna on the side? So if you learn this Gemara and you now learn the Gemara in today's daf, so I don't have a question. The question: what Gemara? Why doesn't it talk about they couldn't sleep on the clothing because you're not allowed to sleep on your clothing because you don't forget you're learning. If you're not allowed, if we just learned in today's daf that it says if the miniach kelev tachas marashayisa because you don't forget. And I told you before that forgetting Torah is an issur, it's an avera. So why doesn't the Gemara here accept this? You would say it couldn't be they slept on their clothing because you're not allowed to sleep on your clothing. You can't take your clothing and take it off and sleep on your shirt, your jacket, your sweater, your sweatshirt, maybe your coat.
You don't know the logic behind the physical, and maybe in the base of English.
Very good. So one answer might be that in the makam of the base of English, and maybe it's different. It's a makam kaddish, and maybe there's no kayach of kashal shikho here. But really, the Gemara should at least mention it. If that's true, the Gemara doesn't mention it. But we have to now come up with Svaras to say that. So the Gemara should have said, okay, you know what? You can't sleep on your clothing. But, oh, no, you are allowed. Because the Makam Levesim English, we're not afraid of Kashal Shivcha. There are those that do say of Rami's Tarot. They don't say maybe it was Levesim English. But let's look at the Shaul Natanzin. He brings this as a, nah, he's not the only one. Many of them bring this as a Raya, this Gemara. Sas Raya. So but the problem is you're going to learn this sugya with me. I have a question on some of these achrayim. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a different question altogether. But let's learn it together and see how you look at his right. He brings a right from the Gemara Masechus Yuma. Ubitamid, he brings, Gemara says in Yuma, lo yishem 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 yishem. Let's go to Havamina the Gemara. Havamina the Gemara was under the red. And he says, it must be, how could it be under the red? So it means even Lepida Havamina, the Havadavar Amasik, it was something that was separating, as the Gemara ends off, although, as that's my question on the Zachrayim, I don't understand, the Gemara's Havamina was no Davar Amasik. But they're learning that it must be, and he brings the Ayin B'maril, Sha'achad Rishad Kassad L'adach L'Ksainas, okay, he says, well, it's not only your shirt, all your clothing and all that put under your head. What are they proving from this Gemara? Being that the Gemara did not mention that you're not going to sleep on your clothing, it must be that right away from the beginning, the Gemara understood that your head is not touching your clothing. There's a davar hamafsik. In other words, yeah, you could your head's on your pillow. Let's just say this is so. Let's say your pajamas are under your pillow. Let's just say that there's a problem with your pajamas too. So you're taking a nap during the day. Your head's on your pillow, and your pajamas are under your pillow. So now you have a davar hamafsik. A davar hamafsik is not, it's not kashal shikha. So the Gemara, the Kaihanim, when they would sleep, they did put it under the head, but they didn't actually sleep on their clothing. They put it under, they had a pillow, and under the pillow they put their clothing. And these Akhrainim bring a riot from this Gemara that you could sleep on your clothing if it is a davar hamafsik, meaning to say that my head is not touching the actual beged. There is something else separating between my head and my clothing. Then I would be allowed to do it. That's what they bring a riot. What I don't understand is that, and I just said it a few minutes ago, is that the Gemara in Havamina wasn't going davar hamafsik. It only brought davar hamafsik in when it talks about klayim. When it talks about klayim, why doesn't the Gemara say about klayim? So the Gemara says, maybe there's a davar hamafsik. No, even davar hamafsik. I mean, in the Havamina, it wasn't davar hamafsik. It only brought in davar hamafsik later on in the Gemara. I remember this question from 25 years ago, but I can't remember where I saw this question. I thought Rav Chaim Kanievsky was the one who brought this as a raya, the opposite, but I must have seen it in the Sefer Shmir Sadot HaNefesh. Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings argues on all of them. Let's see the Mishnah, because we're Mishnah Berurah people, so the Mishnah Berurah does bring it down. It's in the base. This halacha brings down our Gemara in today's daf, the halacha l'maisa. What does he say? Mishnah Berurah, look at the Mishnah Achrayin. I just quoted, it was easy for me to pick, copy and paste. Mishnah Berurah says like this, but after, maybe, he doesn't say for sure. You see, even the Mishnah Berurah is not sure. Maybe it may niach davar acha masa ben raisha lebegadav ain't kaida. Maybe if you put something in between, it's not a problem. And then the Sharetzion brings down the Magen Gibayim. And what is the Magen Gibayim? He's the one who brings a raya from the Gemara in the Sechtes Talmud. Shakehano l'shem b'dikuna l'parshon menichel tach l'shem. B'loi chashu b'zeh l'shikha. B'hechrech hamas b'yim shum shu davar mafsik b'neim. There was a davar mafsik b'neim. The davar mafsik b'neim, you can sleep on your clothing. And so if you hold like them, A lot of times they'll ask me this question, where you're going to be sleep? You definitely, according to this Gemara, cannot take off your jacket, you cannot take off your sweater, and you cannot sleep on those. That's clear you're not allowed to do it. So if you're not allowed to do it, you can't sleep on your clothing. It's kashal shikha. What would be the reason for this? I mean, it has to make some sense. Why can't you just take your clothing and sleep on your clothing? What would be the reason why you're not allowed to do it? To me, the reason is because I remember reading about Rabbi Arya Levine. Remember how he was so careful with his clothing? He, after his clothing were not ready to be worn anymore, he would bury them. And they asked him, if you read it, Tzadik and Ayatollah, it's written in the book over there why he buried his clothing. And he said, the clothing gives me kavod. Without clothing, that's how in today's world we're respected by the way we dress. So if my clothing gives me kavod. Shouldn't I have a karas type to my clothing? If you have to have a karas type of clothing, you have to go out and treat it properly. Treating it properly means, when you can't use it anymore, you bury it. It's Shavus. It's Kedusha. It's what gives us our risk in today's world, especially the Gemara says in Seftis, the Shabbos, the Talmid Chacham in Babel, that's how you would judge them. You judge them and how you dress and what the clothing that you would wear. So our clothing gives us covet, and that's really what, if you look at the Gemara says, Begin was called the Chibadetur. We learn out from there that wear nice clothing on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. So if it gives you COVID, you have to treat it properly. If our clothing was given to wear, it's not should not be used as a pillow. The same reason is, maybe that's why you're not allowed to dry your hands on your clothing, because if you do, it's a design to your clothing. So we have to treat our clothing with respect, realizing that this is what our clothing was given to us for, and therefore, that would be maybe the reason why. Maybe if it was a double amnostic, so then you can say it's not for people dying.
Why the question? We understand, like, davar melech is about the clothing to then warm him, but that makes sense. The clothes are supposed to warm him, and then you got punished for it. But why
is kashal shikha? Kashal shikha is because if I'm not thinking and I'm not realizing what clothing does to me, so then you're not using your head for the. It means you're not thinking. This is what it does to me. So then you're gonna if this is the way you live your life, so then you're gonna forget other things. You're gonna forget anything about tired because you know the whole. You're not focused. We're not present. We're not paying attention to what this does for us. So that's you're not present. You're not thinking. So then you're gonna forget. If you look at the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he says he wrote a Sefer Zikaron. It's the middle of another Sefer. So if you're gonna search for Sefer Zikaron, you're not gonna find it. You have to look at Sefer Siach Hasadah. In Siach Hasadah, there's a bunch of small Zikaron. So if you look at the first column over there on the bottom, Chaim Kanievsky says, "L'chavi yeshechich misliyin zilahepuch." I argue with everybody else. Like the kam kishemavsik beged, even if you have a hefsik beged, it's under your head. Because the Gemara wants the Zetzai. The Mafsik midi beini beini. You have something separating. And still, what does it say? What's the lashon of the Gemara, the Kaihanim would put it under their heads. Listen to Rav Chaim when the Gemara. So once again, the Gemara introduces that maybe it wasn't directly on the, it was under their head, but there was a Davar Hamafsi. And still, what if you look at the Mishnah says, Paishtim Makapal Manichin Isaac Tachas Rashayan, says Rav Chaim, it's still called Tachas Rashayan, even though there's a Davar Hamafsi. Because the Gemara is saying, oh, maybe it was a Davar Hamafsi. Yeah, but the Lashon of the Mishnah is that they put it under their head, says Rav Chaim. You see from over here that even if there's a davar hamafsik, it's still considered tachas merusha sayin. So when the Gemara says don't sleep on your clothing, it means even if there's a davar hamafsik, because it's still the Gemishna still uses those words tachas rishayin. The Gemara ends off it's keneged rishayin, but in the Havamina, the translation of tachas rishayin is even if there's a something in between your head, so example a pillow and then your clothing. Says Reb Chaim, he brings a ride from Tefillin too. Because he says, Miniach tefillin tachas, you ought to put your tefillin under your head. And then, Muki law, the Gemara there says that it's under your pillow. Alma, what do you see? It's still called tachas marashah. It's nirlin is daiti. The ain roi lahakabuzet. You can't be mekul. Tan Kareh says you don't have a right to be mekul. Even if you have a davar hamafsik, you can't put your clothing there. So you can't go ahead and make a higher pillow, for example, with having a pillow and then putting your sweatshirt or coat and now giving you a better. Maybe more support to your head. You're not allowed to do that because it's kasha l'shikha. So now let's go to the next column of Chaim Kanievsky. He wants to tie in, he wants to say, maybe Big Day Kun is different, like we just said. He brings out others that say, the Dafka Kalev also, maybe your own clothing. Big Day Kun is Kaidish. Einem Kalev. Kalev Loibish, Big Day Chaber. What about if I wear my friend's clothing, especially if it's my reason? That the whole reason is that your clothing give you cover. I don't have to respect for someone else's clothing. So he says, L'chayra Kayla, he says it's not true. Milashin Kaylov ancient Rai, Dachinami, Tanani, brings a Gemara Mishaf to Shabbos. That when it talks about taking out lice, it says the word Kaylov. Upshita, it doesn't make a difference whose clothing it is. You see, whenever the Gemara says the word Kaylov, it means anyone's clothing. It could mean Kaylish's clothing too. And then he brings other cases, Haminiyachas Kaylov, Achalayim. And he brings another Mishnah, Hashitechas Kaylov. Mishnashu Kaylov, someone's clothing falls into water, there's a afraid of Schita. It's not only your clothing, anyone's clothing. You see, whenever it says the word Kaylov, Upshita, Kol Elu, Ein Chilak Beit Shalala Shalala. That means it's your clothing. The girls always say, that's not my clothing, so I could sleep on it. Or I could dry my hands in it. Says Reb Chaim, it doesn't make a difference whose clothing it is. Ken Kasha Lahakil, because you can't be Mekel. Meal, he does say, this part I don't get, but he does write, Bebegen Chaveru. If it's your friend's clothing, that She'ina Loib Shaihu, after She'ina Bechal Kaylov, it's not Kaylov. I'm not sure what this means. So you're taking your friend's clothing, she'ina loiv shay, he never wore it yet, because I think that, and that maybe that's what he means, because there are other achranim that learn like that. I don't know what these two lines mean, to be honest with you. I don't know what it means. Well, Neil, if it's your friend's clothing, and he's not wearing it, if he's not wearing it, he just it does, what difference does it make? It's still called K-Love. What difference, what does it mean? You're sleeping on your friend who's wearing his clothing? What does that mean, she'ina loiv shay? He says, the loydami l'cholhani, the shamayr, belovish behem. Belovish behem? First of all, it's not lovish. I understand. Mishanashu kelov is talking about you wearing the clothing. Loyiflas kelov is you wearing the clothing. So that means, Rokhayim holds, you could take your friend's clothing who's not wearing it and you could sleep on their clothing? He just said that whenever it says kelov, it means anyone's kelov. That's how you translate the words. Pasha tells what the words mean. Bigot chaveret, she'ine loyf shoy. If he's not wearing it, so then it's not Bechal Kalev, because it's not similar to all the riots that I'm bringing to the word Kalev. Obviously, it's not the same, because all those cases have nothing, they all have to do with when you're wearing it. But how do you have a riot that if you're not wearing it, it's still not Kalev? When it says Takas Mershais, it's not Kalev. It's my friend. The word Kalev means anyone's clothing. So if it's anyone's clothing, what difference does it make if they're wearing it, they're not wearing it? So I'm not sure what he's trying to say, but I can just tell you that when you look at the statement, if you turn over the sheet, in the Sefer Aleph Amitacha, he clearly just, let's just see what he says over there. He says, he talks about my example of you're traveling in a wagon, or you're in a car, or you're on an airplane, and you want to go to sleep. They ain't like Karakas, you don't have a pillow. Let's see my tacha. So I say, don't take your coat. Any clothing. He says anything. Don't put it on your head to sleep on it. He says, if you don't want to go to sleep, you're just resting for a minute, for a few minutes. Maybe you could do it. His raya, it's a little bit hard to know what the raya is, because what's considered It says Tachas Marashaisov. It does not say, if you go back to today's daf, it doesn't say. It just said the Lashon in the Gemara again is Afaminir Kelo Tachas Marashaisov. It doesn't say a word about how long you're sleeping. If you're sleeping long, if it's a nap, it's a short nap, it's just to support yourself. So according to him, let's say I want to just lean like this, I'm going to put my jacket and I can put my hand down on it. He's trying to say maybe. Again, all these maybes don't. It's very hard to be lenient if it's kasha l'shikha because we're running into maybe a suffix d'irais over there. Because he says nirashay peidu l'shem abut l'asam. He says it doesn't seem to be a peidu. The raya I didn't see so clear, especially from the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara doesn't really speak about that. Then he says, then he goes into the, he also holds, look at Chaf Aleph, the mafsik beis adavar, if you have something between your head and your clothing, nira, also nira, but we have a machlaikis with that, or Chaim Kanayaski is machmir. And then he writes, what happens, let's say you bought clothing, and you never wore it yet, nira, then it's mutter, then you put it on the head. Because hasman is almost, you didn't wear it yet, the feet the way I'm learning, it makes sense. I don't have to give cover to this beggar, they never gave me cover yet, it's new. So if you bought something new, and you stop wanting to use it as a pillow, so you bought a sweatshirt. I mean, this sweatshirt I'm going to take and I'm going to use it as a pillow, and you never use it as a beggar yet. So he says that Nero also, that it would be mutter. All these are Neros. There's no clear raya. All I can say is, as Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Sefer says, because we don't know, then we should be machmir.
What am I to feel when I buy my sweatshirt? I'm buying this as a sweatshirt and
that's what he's trying to say. He wants to say that maybe I designate it as a pillow.
That's because I never wore it yet.
Never wore it yet.
I want to borrow my sweatshirt, but I'm still the same. I'm buying it on the...
Yeah, so then you're definitely not allowed to because you're also wearing it. Once you're wearing it as clothing, so then it's clothing. So once it's clothing, I can't use it as a pillow.
So you put it on you.
That's fine. So Chaim writes whatever you would, and it's safer. He does write that if I'm wearing a jacket, not doing it. If I put my head down, I'm sleeping on my clothing. He says, no, it's bottle to your body. It's only when you take... It makes sense because it's not a design. That's normal. The way we're learning this far over here is that it has to be that I took my clothing, which is normally worn, and I'm going out and using it as a pillow, so that I'm not allowed to do. Now, let me just tell you, the women are different in this halacha, because we are not allowed to forget Torah. They have no issue in forgetting Torah. They can forget whatever, they can forget Torah. So when they ask me...
Women don't forget anything.
No, they don't forget the big things, the small things they forget. But the halacha with them is different. In the Akdama of the Sefer Shmir Sanefesh Aguf, so Reb Chaim says there's no such for forgetting Torah for women. And others say, what do you mean? But they can't forget what they have to learn, which is the mitzvahs say that are shloyas man grama. They don't have a time. So there are different places that say that maybe women, some of them, if they need to, you can be lenient with them. So I tell them like this. I tell them, if you really need to and you have no other choice, I'm not telling you it's an avera. Is it kashal l'shikha? Yeah, you're going to forget. You definitely forget. It's not just forgetting Torah. The Gemara doesn't say just Mishkach Limudei Torah. You forget everything. So when they ask me the question, I'm definitely more lenient with them. And all these spakers that we just said, you can be lenient because it's not an Issa Deraisa for them. According to Reb Chaim, it's no Issa Deraisa. If they're going to ask me, it's not, we'll see in a minute when we talk about olives. The same Shiloh. When they're going to start talking to me about all these things that are Kashal Shekha, I say, listen, it's not Avera. You want to do it, you can do it. I'm not recommending you to do it because it causes Shekha, it causes you to forget. So that's what you should just know. When the girls want to do it, you could definitely be more lenient with them. You don't stop them if especially Dabra Masi. I'm lenient with Dabra Masi because the Mishnah Berurah, you have all these Achranim that anyway are Mekul. The Mishnah Berurah says Efsher, you have Reb Tzelach Achman, there's other part, you have the Be'er Sheva. So when they go ahead and they're going to tell me they're going to use the sweatshirt just to prop up their head, but they are not directly on the sweatshirt, so then I'm definitely more Mekul with them. They don't have Issa D'Oraisa. We are dealing with Issa D'Oraisa. It's much like Reb Chaim says, very hard to be Mekul. So now let's go to what's very important to us, which is olives. We eat olives all the time. Now, what type of olives are we talking about? And we could get olives in pizza. You can get olives in a dip. You can get olives in so many different foods. What is the halacha? So once again, the Gemara's lashon is a ragel b'zaisin. So we have to, the Gemara's lashon of the Gemara is a ragel b'zaisin. What's ragel? What ragel means? Well, once every 30 days. What's ragel? If it's not Ragel, then there's no Avera. So what we are going to see over here is we're going to once again learn Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer, what he writes about this, and then we will see some Yisaydus Gadayot, we'll see some beautiful answers to some questions that the Achranim talk about this in the summer, because one of the when we were reading the parasha that talks about the Shiva Saminim, so the question came up, It says Eretz Chita Saira Gefen Teina Rimon. So Chita Saira Gefen Teina Rimon are pomegranate, wheat. And then it says Eretz Zei Shemen. Well, what is this Shemes Aminim? Desires of the Shemen. Eretz Zei Shemen Udvash. And Udvash is Tarim. So why doesn't the Torah say Zayis? The Shemes Aminim is not Shemen Zayis. Shemes Aminim is Zayis. And Olive is Shemes Aminim. So why doesn't the Pasuk say Zayis? Pasuk should say Zayis. So the Marsha, let's learn the Marsha first. Should have maybe been first on the sheet. Anyway, the Marsha says, and the Gemara in today's daf, Marsha in today's daf says, on the part, the Gemara says, Vayikud, Ragel b'shemen b'zayis is not good for shikha. But shemen zayis, if you have olive oil can bring back what you could forget from 70 years ago. So olive oil is good. You should have olive oil. You want to eat, you want to have oil, have olive oil. Says the Marsha, beautiful pshat. And why the Torah doesn't say the Shiva Saminim is Zayis. When someone asks you the question, say Zayis. It's olive, it's not olive oil. So the Mashah, Mizeh, let's learn the Mashah today's daf. Mizeh, Yeshua says, Tom, Chal Shiva Saminim, the Chal Shiva Torah. All the Shiva Saminim, Chal Shiva Peres, Atzman, the Chsiv, Chita Sari Gafen. Chutz Mizayis, the Noker Hayyotze Mimena, the Chsiv, Zay Shem, and Shadda Zayis, too, fame by Shiva Karitzel, it's not praiseworthy. But other Rabbah, who Mishkaf Tamudi, cause you to forget. Abel Shemen Hayyotze Men, but the oil is Meshav Tamudi. And it's Shvach Shel Eretz Yisrael. Nakat Talmud Shel Shevim Shana. Shememar Lishkeiach Kimei Sheshininu. We know that 7 years you forget. It's gonna even that. It's gonna you won't forget. So we have a beautiful answer. Marsha says that the reason why it says Shemen is because olives are not good. How could the Torah say olives in Shvach Eretz Yisrael? It's not the olives. It's the olive oil. Frekti Achrayim. So what about Dvash? So why doesn't it say tomorrow? If you're telling me that it's because of Shvach Eretz Yisrael. So why when it gets his Eretz Zei Shemen Udvash? What's Dvash? Dvash is dates. It's dates. So let the Torah say tomorrow. Why doesn't the Torah say tomorrow? Everybody say, when a Chiddush Gadol, you could ask this question to many people. This summer I did. Nobody knew the answer to this question. One Thursday night, one of the Thursday nights. I did speak about it. This question to the Olam over there. They also were found it to be. Yeah, it's a good question. How come no one ever spoke? Why doesn't anybody ask this question? Why does the Torah say Dvash and not tomorrow? If you're talking about Shiva Saminim, olives, we understand. So Rokhan Kanievsky does ask the question. I looked in a safer time of the Krah in the Parsha, and they kind of look at the first column over there. Then we're going to get back to the Halach Lamaisa. Yesh La'ayin. Lo b'karat Torah tomorrow, b'shem Dvash. Rekh Rokhan, why is it called Dvash? Ha'kayim alon, the Dvash tomorrow in Zeya Balmo. And the Dvash of the Tamar Mizeah, you make a shakel on it. You don't make a bar priyat on it. If you eat honey, it's a shakel. They ain't no of shame free cloud. So why would the Torah use it? The Chiddush Gadol from Chaim, say this to other people to laugh at you. But look what Chaim says. The Nero, the Dvash, the Hocha, ain't al shame hayyotzeman. It's not really referring to what's yaitze. It's not talking about the honey that comes out of the Dvash, out of the Tamar. El kol pri matuk, any sweet fruit is called Dvash. It's like honey, sweet like honey. Candy, sweet like honey. So when it says dvash, it doesn't actually mean tomorrow. Anything sweet, yechidish rokhayim. Bumavur, and he brings the Gemara, Masech the Shavuos, Kibnei Shurach, and his back, and Sit, Chal Sa Dvash, Kol Peres, it's all included. Lufisha, tomorrow, Mesukin Yosh. Why is tomorrow choosing it? Why do we say always dvash tomorrow? It's not tomorrow, you tell him, he says, rokhayim. But because dates are so sweet, so therefore we refer to anything sweet as tomorrow. Karle dvash. It's sweet as honey. And it brings a raya from other psukim. Ki dvash levad, again, dvash alone is zeh ba'alma. So it's not referring to it. It means anything which is sweet. Now, I am not exactly sure, because a little bit unclear of it. Does he still mean that when dvash is referring to the actual tamarim? Is that what he means to say? So when it says tamar, it doesn't say tamar, it says dvash. But Dvash is really referring to Tamarim. It must mean that's the Pshat. Because at the end of the day, Tamarim is Shivas Haminim. And it's Nageya for Rosh Hashanah at night. If you have dates as one of the Simanim, we have to know if it means Tamarim means anything sweet. So what we have the Tamarim, and you have to know what bracha to make on the Tamarim. You also have to know if you can make an Aleitz or Priyat, because if it's Shivas Haminim, if we eat the Tamarim, we're going to make an Aleitz or Priyat. So I don't believe, again, I saw different, when I read in different Tamarim, it's a little hard to understand if he's just tiny. That everything sweet is called Dvash. So then Eretz Yisrael is praised because it's a land of where you'll find sweet things. Or just he's trying to say that really the whole Tamarim is Dvash. The actual date is Dvash. It's a synonymous with Tamarim. Dvash doesn't mean the honey that comes out of it. The date is referred to as Dvash. That seems to be that's because he says the only problem is he says Lefisha Kamar Masut Yotzim Kol Peres Karolei Dvash LeShabchay Shumali Mesikus Dvash. So does he mean to say that? Because in the paragraph before he says the Dvash Toch Ain Al Shema Yotzim Ol Kol Pri Matul. He says Kol Pri Matul. All sweet Peres are called Dvash. And he brings a riot from Rashi. So that means he's learned that the Shibas Haminim is not Dvash. It's not water. Any sweet. Anything sweet? That's what I'm not. It's a little bit unclear. But what I could say is that the how did the other? I always say what happened before Chaim Kanievsky came along. How did they learn? How did they learn the tomorrow? How did they learn dvash? At the end of the day, why does it say dvash? I don't know. Growing up in yeshiva, dvash is tomorrow mistakes, and we all know that. I mean, halacha is dates. So that's why I believe. I can't believe Chaim doesn't mean that it means all fruits. Yeah, maybe all fruits are dvash. But we in halacha, dvash is tamar. You look in the halacha, it's tamar. So what does it mean? Stei chemed says Amari, he asked Akash, for Hashem, I found in the stei chemed. I found in the stei medani yashir. Medani yashir, what does that mean to the stei chemed? Okay, he says, he brings down the marsha. Hey, nemes, shal derech, shekosu marsha, doloi chosu krab ezeisim, because the priatma, because it's not shvach Eretz Yisrael. And he asked Akash, okay, nucha loimer, that tamid dvash. Dvash also, the Gemara says himself, is tainis. Tomorrow, if you eat dates, mitzaris adam, it's not good, it's painful. The king yishlamin, the mitanza, it's also not chashav kra, it's not in the pasuk. So the Torah has to use vash because the actual tomorrow is not healthy. So it's good, then it makes sense. It's like zayif. Zayif causes you to forget. Tomorrow is mitzari. If you eat dates, it's not good for you. And then then he has another arichas over here. And it makes sense if you look at the second column when he quotes the Sechamim himself says in Kamak and Varam Tziyashim the Haichi Kamer the Mcholshiv is Aminim Kachashav Apriatmai the Rechamish Aminim who the Kachashav Apriatmai because it's a separate thing. But look what he writes in the small print. He brings down Ayin Shav the Sechamim Cherech Barichas and Dvash Amar B'Tayru Rak Dvash Tomorrow or maybe it's Koyel Dvash Devarim too. So if you're going to learn like Rav Chaim, maybe anything sweet is called Dvash. It would make sense to include even Dvash Dvarim too. Lalacha, again, it's Tamarim, and I believe that Rav Chaim is just saying that the Tamar itself is called Dvash, it's not what's Yaitim and Advash, and that's how we answer the question. So now let's go back to Zayt. So we know that olives are not good, Kashul Shikha. So look at the first column, let's go backwards now. You'll see on the column there, it brings down the Rav Yaakov Emdin. Rav Yaakov Emdin and Al Daf today, and Marketia. He brings like this, Kosov, the ain't peda, rak bezeisim chayim. He learns that the only problem is if you bought fresh olives, not if they're kvushim or meluchim, preserved as we buy today, or they're cooked. And he brings a raya from a Gemara Maseches Brachos. Says Rav Chaim, t'mua. It's t'mua. The dafka baragel amar. The Gemara, first of all, says only ragel. Umatzasi, he brings the Meiri. The Meiri says, he brings the Meiri in today's daf. The hedge, it's a rishayim. The zaysim aluchim kashal shikha, the opposite, that salted ones, preserved ones, are kashal shikha. And he says, the teva is, and I study, you can Google it and see, but the teva of the fruit causes you to forget, kills brain cells. You see from many, many places that it's not healthy, it's not good. So it comes out, if you this, that all, because we don't know, you have Rebecca Bemdin that says that it's fresh, and you have Rebecca, and he ends off, I couldn't bring the whole Rebecca in the room, but he says, because we don't know, once again, we don't know, so then all olives are a problem. I don't care if they're, it doesn't make a difference if they're kvushim, they're salted, all olives are kashal shikha, so then we can't eat olives. Okay, so we can't have an olive dip then, because there's olives there too. So first we have to understand, there is a couple of points that the Rebecca wants to make. If you're telling me, and this is the point that the Rabbi Yisachar Zonneveld brings out also, olive oil is good. Olives are no good. So what happens if you mix the two together? You crush the olives, now you crushed it. So you have the olive oil, and now you can have olives in oil. So the olives cause you to forget. Olive oil is going to cause you to remember. So maybe they balance each other out, they counter each other out, and now you should be able to have the olives with the oil. That's one child. And also, what's ragel? All right, let's learn the second column over here from Chaim Kanievsky to get to that final halacha over here. It brings down like this. He brings different Sefer Shemir Sanav. There's a Sefer Shemir Sanavish Raglof, which is more recent, Rabbi Lerner in Eretz Yisrael. And then there's a Sefer Shemir Sanavish, which is much old. It's a Sefer which is already an older Sefer. So he brings like this. Hey, Chaim is bringing the Sefer down. Sheyesh HaNashim, Sharagim lechol zaytzim biyached im shemen zayis. They eat it together, like we just said. Va'oimrim, and they say, zayis mishkach tamudet. Shemen is meishiv tamudet. Im kein yotzev zeh. Ve'inim alz. Ve'inim alz. Ve'inim alz. Says Reb Chaim, it doesn't make sense to me. The pshita. Not everyone's the same. We have a good memory. Things that are good for memory will help you. And dvarim that are mazik will not. But the opposite is also true. If you don't have a good memory, maybe the olives are going to cause you to forget so much more than the olive oil helping you remember, because you don't have a good memory anyway. So who said that they're going to be count? They're going to balance each other out? Who said that they could counter each other? Says Reb Chaim, it does not help to have olives in olive oil. It's mazik. And so, again, we talk about an issa d'oraisa over here. In Cain, after shazaysim and ziko harbit yoiser mima shashem and yoel. It's gonna be so much worse, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Halach l'mayis Reb Chaim brings a raya from all the gemaras. Rogel means once in 30 days. So you want to have olives, you can have olives once in 30 days. That's what he says. Rogel, he brings raya. I thought I put it on the sheet, but I see I didn't. But he does say that every once in 30 days you can have olives. More than that, you should not be having olives. You can have olive oil. That's very good for memory, but olives doesn't make sense. What type of olives?
You have 3 days, you want 3 days.
What?
What's the 3 days you have?
That's what he doesn't speak about, but that's what I think. Yeah, because it's rather mean that you're doing it all the time, but if one shot, I get as many olives as I want. No idea. They don't know why.
It's only men, right?
That's why they don't have good memories, I guess.
It's only men. It's not women.
It's all men. Oh, so the women, we're back to what I said to you before. The women, they're going to come and they want olives. So listen, you want olives? You can eat olives. Is it good for memory? It's not. Reb Chaim also said, it's not. At the end, it's not good for memory.
Fine, so if someone doesn't eat it. Typically, it is.
Olive oil is.
Olive.
I don't know. I did research a little bit and I found that the olives without the oil does kill brain cells. So we'll have to look at it again.
The antioxidant in olives without the oil protects brain cells.
Yeah, with the olives without the oil. Yeah, no. All right, we're gonna have to do it. We'll have to check again.
Besides the fact, 99% of olive people without.
The olive oil has to be out. The reason why the Mefarshim explain why Hashem make it, like Hashem has a reason why He did this. It has to be why. Well, how could it be? They all ask the question. How could olives cause you to forget? But now they take the olives. It has olive oil in it anyway.
No, I'm talking about the olives we buy. If we're gonna say that the olive oil protects. Instead of
kind of
just
being able to
count around, but
maybe 99%
of the oils
for
olives we eat are
in
olive oil.
That's
out of the olive.
Right, that's out of olive. Reb Chaim still says that we don't know the
that's what
he's saying. But the Mefarshim speak about why would Hashem make it this way. If olive oil is good, so why if the olive oil in the olive and I'm eating fresh olives, why would it be a problem? They say that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn from the Bria. So in order to get olive oil, you have to crush it, and to get oil, to teach us in life, you have to be an amel, you have to work on things. And if you're not going to work on things, you're going to forget. And that's what they say, the olives are symbolic of. Okay, but that's getting into trying to understand why Hashem made it this way. It's a separate discussion going into to understanding why it is. But this is the halacha, the olives, we have to be careful with if we eat olives too often or not. And there are those that say that, yes, if you take olives and mix it with oil, that it's okay. There are those that say, that Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld wrote about it, that the counters, they balance each other out. So he holds it's okay. Al-Halacha, again, if the oil wants, the needs to feel, needs to, somebody, if your wife made something, you're going to say, oh, yeah, now I have olives. You'll rely on those places. You'll say, listen, if I don't eat these olives, I'm going to be in trouble. But it happens to be that I try to be very careful with the olives. What do I need more things to cause me to forget for? You're getting older. I don't need olives to cause me to forget. And if the Gemara says it causes you to forget, it causes you to forget. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara today, you need a whole separate chair for what we're going to talk about now. But at least we'll bring it up so the Olam could look into it. In today's daf, the Gemara, there's two Gemara, same similar Gemaras, but they discuss different problems. Let's learn the Gemara Pesachim and Kuf Yiralf, and then we'll learn the second part of today's daf. Tan Rabban, Shloi Shematzin, there are three that you should not be in the middle. You should not be in the middle of them, and they should not be in the middle of you. Ve'elu ena kela v'adekel, so a dog should not be in the middle between you and somebody else. V'adekel a palm tree, v'ish and a woman. So we all know that you should not have a woman walking between two men, but as we will see, the whole world is backwards. Everybody has everything backwards here. V'yeshayim afa chazir, all these I'm not worried about. The only one is the Isha. So again, you're not allowed to do this. Why are you not allowed to do this? The Gemara doesn't say why, but it, when you look at the Mefarshim, it deals with Shevim, Ruch Ra, so the same. So you're not allowed to have, you can't have a woman in between. What does that mean in between? So let's learn today's daf, because today's daf said the same thing. Varn says, Asar, Varn, Kashal, and Limud. Back to the Kashal, Shifcha. What are 10 things that are not good for Limud? You go under a bridge of a camel, Kolshkin under a camel, I don't know if anybody's doing that. Well, most of them we don't have to talk about. But even you walk between two nashim. How do you translate that? You walk between two nashim. Does that mean that you're walking in between? Your wife is on one side and your daughter is on the other side. That's shtei nashim. And then also the Gemara says, you can't have a woman in between two men. So you can't have your wife standing, you're on one side, and your son's on the other side of your wife. Because that would be oiveres ben shnei anashim. So the Marsha, first of all, asked the question, with that this Gemara and the today's daf says kashan limud. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim doesn't talk about that. The Gemara just says don't do it. And the Gemara it seems because it's a sakana. Zok the Marsha, that's what the Marsha seems to say over here. Zok the Marsha of the Perek Arib Pesachim Chashav Achrini. The Gemara there has a whole list, and the list is not the same as here. Says the Marsha, and he brings you the list. Haimu Lagavi Sakana. Not only is the kashal shichet dangerous too. So you have two problems with women walking in between. One is it's a sakana, one is that it's kashal shikha. Okay, so the Gemara in Pesachim says, how do you get it? It's a sakana, you say a pasuk. Niftach kel, then you say a pasuk that starts with kel and ends with kel. And aval hach over here, it's kashal and limud. There's no takana. If you're going to walk between women, you're going to forget your learning. If you have a woman in between you, it's also going to forget. And the Zaya, right? The Zaya says that if the isha is a nida, then it's even worse. He says, the main anida is, then it's an ayin hara, as we do. There's other answers to this question. Let's learn for a moment over here the Ben Ish Chai. And the Ben Ish Chai says clearly, I just wanted to add in. From the Ben Ish Chai says, if you're in between two women, if you're with another person, then there's no problem either. Then let's say you have talking about the dog, the case of the dog, you have a dog on a stand, Vashani and another dog on the floor, it's not high, so the same thing would be women, less lamba. If there's one woman higher, one woman lower, you know, and you're walking in between them, it's not a problem. And also, if there's Dalet Amos, not a problem. Dalet Amos is 7 feet. If there's two women and you're walking between them, less lamba. Once again, most of the Achrayim that discuss these questions talk about if the women are not talking to each other, it's not a problem anyway. And also, what's ironic is that everybody talks about when you're walking with two women. The Gemara is not talking about that. Look at the Lashon of today's daf. It says, Ha'iver bein shnei anashim. Ha'iver means you walk between. Not if you're walking together with them. There's no iser to walk together with them. It doesn't say that in the Gemara at all. It says, Ha'iver, the Gemara, Masechta Pesachim. Okay, it says, Ein mematzin. You could maybe translate it into there. It says, the Isha. Although it's also not mashma like that, because the Marsha doesn't say that teretz. Marsha could have just said it, two different Gemaras. The Gemara, Masechta Pesachim, is you're standing in between them. The Gemara Masechta is Haris is where you're walking in between them. It doesn't say that answer. It seems that the two Gemaras are the same, but there's two problems. Is this a kind of problem or not? Balach Lamaisa then, from the River Ephraim, others say, listen, the Oilam somehow accepted this, which is so ironic. Is you go to a Simcha and you set up the table where you have two men, two women, two men, two women. Where does it say that in the Gemara? There's no such Gemara like that. You could have a man sitting, again, maybe it's not sneeze, it's not proper, but there's no problem with sitting between two women. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It doesn't say that a woman can't sit between two men. The Gemara says, ha'ayve. So we've added on, all of a sudden, by this halacha, we've added on.
That's partial. Do it, because you don't want to be in close proximity to a woman.
Yeah, but someone's going to be in close proximity to the woman. Yeah, okay, so I'm saying
it's not.
I'm saying this halacha, but it's not. So I wanted to say, because it's not true. It's not. No, but it could be with family members. It can come up. You're sitting with your family then.
But still, even if it's your aunt, it's not comfortable to.
I'm saying, what about it to your mother and your wife?
So I think it was your mother or whatever.
I don't think people would have a problem with it.
Yeah,
your mother and your
sister. Right. If it's anyway going to be family members, the place can say that, first of all, walking in between them is no problem. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. So most places can say if you're walking home with your wife and your daughter, you can stand in the middle. The Gemara's not talking about that. You added it on, so now you want to take it a step further. Go take it a step further. And all these paiskim that the Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld does write about the severity of this also, about not to do this. He talks about they're not facing each other. You can look further down over here when his make, look at the second one from the bottom over here. He says, "Im shtei nashim chag is a mizuh." That's one thing we say you're allowed to be mekel. "Im yesh la'achim b'mitzuya," could you be mekel again when they're in the middle? The nachat panel itself, and one is facing one way, one is facing the other way. They're not talking to each other, be mekel. There's many, many situations where you can be mekel. The main halacha is if you go to a simcha, because it comes up all the time, you go to a wedding, and you have to get through. So you have two women there. The halacha, you're not supposed to walk in between them. You should wait, and then school have the same thing, because the girl's standing in the hallway, and I got to get through. So I tell them, could you please move to the side? Or if you don't, they say, hold a safer. You have all these other options. Hold your payas. Do something. Bring someone else with you. But it's the ikar halacha really is not when it's... And not when you're walking at the same time with the women. It's talking about when you have to go through them. That's where the Isser is. Didn't want to go into other things that are kashal shikha, but the Mirtz Hashem will have other times where we will continue this share in Mirtz Hashem.
Who washed?